Listen in as host Phil Ramsey and Blake Schenkel dig into the Word line by line, verse by verse, leaving no stone unturned. Grab your Bible and your notebook and get prepared to study the living, breathing, active Word of God. Now, here are your hosts of Life Song Radio.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Life Song Radio along Phil Ramsey. My name is Blake Schenkel. It is good to have you here today with us for another episode of Life Song Radio as we study the book of Romans. We ask that you visit us each and every week at lifesongradio.com. You can also download the Christian podcast community, and we're on that as well, along with 40-something other Bible teaching podcast. You can do that on your favorite podcast app. Now that I got all that out of the way,
you're doing good with your for our TV audience. You could be, I don't know, hey, and you're moving your hands. You could like be a Price is Right. If they had male people that did that, you would be good at that.
They used to, didn't not with Price is Right, but yeah, was. Remember?
Was it?
They had male models.
Really?
I think so. I think
you got the hands for the looks, not so much.
Yeah, okay. Right. Well, that's why we do radio as well, right? We don't have many people looking at us on TV. Now, Phil, what's going on?
Not much. Glad to be here.
Yeah.
Recording pretty late at night. My my ox was in a ditch earlier, so so it's pretty late at night. We're recording and.
So you got that dark shirt on again today.
Yeah, I do.
That's good.
Yeah, look good.
That's good. You know, I was thinking about this. I've got this shirt on. Look nice up top.
Yeah.
I got business up top, party at the bottom.
Camouflage shorts.
That's why we have, if you're watching TV, you can see that it's covered up right here. You can only see the top. So that's the kind of news anchor trick there.
Yeah.
Learned that from Jimmy Hicks.
Yeah. So,
no, anyway. Well, man, good to see you. Heck, you know, at church, man, we've been rocking and rolling on some teaching. You've been leading us in an evangelism training class. Been excited about that lately.
Yeah, very, very excited. You know, most Christians, big majority, I would say 85-90% of people never share the gospel one time in their entire life.
Wow.
They do invite people to church, but that's not sharing the gospel. So we're all commanded to do that. It's not an option. We must do it. So what we're doing at our church is training our people how to do that, how to take everyday conversations and steer those to gospel conversations, you know, what to say, how to say, what is the gospel, and then, you know, you'll be teaching a lot on bringing the law into our gospel conversations, because if you don't, hey, God came to save sinners, and the law reveals our sin, so that's a big part of it. I don't ever hear too many people doing that.
No, and we model our evangelism style off of a lot what Ray Comfort, the Way of the Master.
And Jesus, by the way.
Yeah, well, that's how they modeled his, right?
That's really neat, too. That's what Jesus did. You know, when he dealt with different people in the Bible, he'd bring that law in.
Yeah.
And most of them walked away from it, not realizing, you know, their sin. So,
yeah, it's really one of those things that, you know, I fail in a lot of my dereliction of my duty as well. And it's one of those things that we just constantly being reminded of is we need to be sharing the gospel. We need to be out there, you know, because we're called to reconcile. We're the reconcilers, right? We bring that message of reconciliation, and we're the ambassadors of Christ. So,
can I tell you something?
Yeah.
All right. I'll share this in the, but this is going to air a little bit like this. Now, our TV audience has a plus here.
Are you going to fix to give me $100? Phil is pulling out his wallet at this point. If you could listen to us on the radio.
So I was going today. I was at the store.
Okay.
And I was buying. Of course, every time Blake calls me, what am I doing?
You're eating. He's buying something to eat.
So, so this is crazy. So I'm at the store, and I'm there's a lady behind the counter, and then there's a lady right here to my left who's stocking shelves.
All right.
And so I hand her a $20 bill, but on one end of the $20 bill, it's cut off. And so I said, can y'all take this? And will you take this? Is this good or whatever? And she looked over at her manager over the right, says, can we take this? And I'm trying to think how, because what she said fed right into what I said. Give me 1 second.
Yeah.
I said,
we only have 29 minutes.
Yeah. Can you take this? Or I don't know. I'm going to get the words wrong. But, and she said, it's got the serial number on it. So, yes, we can take our. The word's not take. I'm trying to think of the word. But the girl behind me said, well, I wish I could take $1 million or something like that. I says, really? And so I reached in my billfold and I pulled out $1 million bill. Ooh. And I gave it to her. She looked at it and she was, I said, now this is not a real $1 million bill. I said, but on the backside of it is something a lot more valuable.
Yeah.
And then she just started reading it. And then, really? and then the lady across the counter said, oh, beep. That's a cuss word. Let me see that. Yeah, and then she got it, and then she started reading. Right. But I thought it was neat because the wordage that was used that day, I mean, then she asked, oh, I could use $1 million.
That's awesome.
I said, well, I got good news.
You're just in luck.
Yeah, that's I'll share that with our evangelism.
Yeah, you always carry that around. That's a good thing to have is just an evangelism track there. Yeah. And, you know, it's great comfort in them to do that. You got some of those ordered, and it's always good to have a track.
I couldn't get into the full-blown gospel presentation at work, and you have to be respectable of people and their where they are. But, hey, she read it. So.
You sure did. That's good, man. Awesome. Well, that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be studying about how to share the gospel, teaching our people, discipling them up on how to share the gospel, and ultimately going out and teaching them and them being right alongside of us, sharing the gospel, and they could be right there with us and then let them do it. So anyway, man, we're in Romans 14, and we have been working our way through this Christian liberty passage. It has taken us a while, but we've been trying to just pick this apart because it's very important, and it really is... It really has done me some well as I'm going through it. I don't know about you, but I'm really have grown.
Done you in some
this.
Well.
Done me well.
I thought you said
I probably did, but that's
you did terrible. Some grammar mistake. I need to write that down.
Put that down. You can get me later. I'm sure you'll send it to me in a video clip of it. You know, but it's done. It's been very helpful for me in my life, and so I don't know about you, but this has been good. So we want to continue with that, and without further ado, let's get into our passage. Why you come here today, and not to listen to us babble, but to listen to us exposit the Word of God. So we are in Romans 14. I'll be taking this from the NASB. I try to stick with the NASB when I study, but just so you can follow along. But if you got any other version, that'd be fine too. But here we go. Let's start. At verse 16, Paul says, therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. You know, last week we talked about, Phil, not destroying our testimony. We talked about how what we do affects people. And that's what verse 16 said. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing, that being your Christian liberty, that being those things that you know you have freedom in Christ to do. He says, don't let that be spoken of as evil, meaning don't let your Christian liberty drive your life. Don't let it... ultimately hurt your brother, your weaker brother in Christ. We don't want to do that. We don't want to. We need to be thinking consciously about the spiritual state of our weaker brother and sister in Christ and their spiritual growth and their walk in Christ. And our love for them is comes before our rights that we have in Christ when it comes to our freedom, those adiaphora things in Christ. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it definitely does. And we do, as Christians, we have liberties. And just because we have liberties doesn't mean that we should exercise those liberties. There's a time and place. And just because we have liberties, we don't want to flaunt those liberties also. And I see that happening.
I was going to say the same thing.
I was watching, and some people I like to watch, too. But they were three guys there, and they had little glass there, and I'm just going to assume it was whiskey, you know, and then they had a couple cigars. I'm like, you really don't have to do that, you know, and I don't know, to me, that's flaunting, though I think, you know, they can do that if they won't, but I think that might be crossing the line
a little bit.
When it's going out to untold, you know, possibly hundreds of thousands of millions of people, that's just saying, hey, we know we can do it, and we're going to do it.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what Paul's saying not to do.
Yeah.
Don't do that. I mean, because who knows what weaker brothers... In fact, that may affect us as well as we see that is wow. I mean, I don't know about you, but it don't take much whiskey to...
I don't know. I've never drank it.
You lie. lie. Come on. Okay, we're moving on, folks. Look here. All liars have their place in the lake of fire. Do you think yourself is a good person? Let's move it on. We talked about some of the points. Let me just go back to kind of the points of how I broke it down is in verse 14 and 15. Well, verse 13, we need to be removing the obstacles and stumbling blocks. Our second point was in verses 14 and 15, let our love for Christ and his church, let that restrain our liberty, right? That's what we want to do. We want to continue to let our love for our brother and for Christ's church constantly be our guide there. And then number three, don't destroy your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what Paul says. He says, do not destroy with your food for him whom Christ died. Who cares about food? The love of your brother is what's more important. And that's verse 15. And then we talked about last week, don't destroy your testimony. Our testimony is so vital to our walk in Christ, and we just do not need to be destroying that. And I mean, we're already on a pedestal at this point, and people are ready to knock that down. And if we're infighting in the church, if we're just fighting over this food, you know, hey, I can eat the pork chop, well, but it hurts me, I don't think so. Let that stuff go. We need to work through those things. So
I'm gonna ask you, yeah. I don't know if you covered this last time. Well, in 16, mm-hmm.
I'm ready. Yeah.
All right, it says, therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. Mm-hmm. Now, would you say be spoken of as evil as the world, the outside world, looking at what's going on, and they're the one that's saying that's evil? Would you say that?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is the outside world. I think it basically the strong is to give up his right in the areas of non-essentials if it's causing the outside world to look upon it and saying that's evil. You know, those things, you know, if this rift that's inside the church is the world's looking at it and say, like, look what's happened over at Beaver Baptist Church. Can you believe that? I mean, and it has this effect upon the world. You know, you're ultimately, that's not good.
Yeah.
I think that's what Paul's going there is we're to, if we could abuse it so much that the world can conclude that our Christian living is not loving.
Yeah, if we're supposed to be the example of love, loving our brothers, and then they look and see that this definitely ain't happening, there's some issues here, that would again be spoken of as evil.
I think so. Yeah. That's what I'm saying is I think we can tear down this testimony, not only our testimony, but our church's testimony, even Christ. I mean, you're slandering Christ at that point, and that word is blaspheme, and meaning, you know, speak evil of. That's what that means. And blasphemio, that's what we talked about last week. Slander what is good by equating it with evil. So we've taken something that Christ says is good, and now we've turned it in by our actions into something that is evil. And Paul, our last point on this, just kind of summing this up in verse 18, is we need to know what real kingdom living is. Let me ask you a question, Phil. Would you say... that as Christians, we're called to live a different life than the world?
Absolutely.
Are we part of a different kingdom when we are born again?
Yeah, you're born into another kingdom. And I like, and in this kingdom, and I would say at this specific time, I would call it a spiritual kingdom where God rules and reigns in our lives. And we were studying, and as the First Peter, yeah, last week, I guess, that as a part of God's kingdom, we're sojourners, we're passing through. This isn't our home. And I like what Jesus said in Pilate. You know, he says, if this was, I'm trying to think of how he said it, but if this was my what's the scripture, by the way? I said it to you earlier. If my disciples would fight for me.
Yeah.
What was that? I'm drawing a blank.
Is in John? I don't remember.
You know what I'm talking about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but our people don't. I can't remember.
I'm drawing a blank. It's when he was, look it up, when he was...
Yeah, here we go. I got fortunate. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. This is John 18:36. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we're definitely in a different kingdom.
Yeah.
We're in Christ, and absolutely.
So that's the reason I ask that is because this plays right into what Paul says here. I mean, he's talking about a different kingdom. Paul says in verse 17, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking." Well, we as Baptists, we so like to eat, don't we? You think if you come on a potluck Sunday that our kingdom is eating and drinking. But no, that's not what Paul means ultimately. He's saying our kingdom is not this eating and drinking. It's not about your Christian liberty, though you have those things. It's not about that. But look, it's righteousness. It's peace and it's joy in the Holy Spirit. Man, I just love that. This is what kingdom living is all about. Paul really gives us the reasons as to why we should give up our Christian liberty for our weaker brother because that's not what Christian liberty is about. I mean, our kingdom living is about. Kingdom living is about righteousness, peace, and joy. That this is what our lives are to be about as Christians today. The whole point of the kingdom is not food. It's not drink. And the kingdom here, so we know, is this refers to that salvation by grace through faith, where God rules in Christ over the hearts or the souls of those who believe. Mm-hmm. It's that kingdom in which when you're born again, you're into that kingdom, right? That's kingdom we're talking about here. We're not talking about the final kingdom here, but we're talking about the spiritual kingdom. It's the sphere of salvation that Paul is speaking of here. It's if you're saved, this is you. We're part of this kingdom. And he says here, this is what kingdom living is. It's the reign of redemption within the hearts of men. It's an invisible, eternal kingdom within men's heart. It's only within the hearts of those who've been born again from above. And it's not of this world. And what it is, it's advanced by the gospel preaching, and it is incomprehensible to unbelievers, this kingdom of God.
Yeah, I like what Jesus said to Nicodemus. You can't even see the kingdom.
Yeah.
That says a lot. You can't even see the kingdom unless you're born again. So how do you get in the kingdom? It's the same way. I love the analogy, by the way. How did you get on earth, by the way? Mm-hmm. You were born.
Mm-hmm.
You were born.
Yep.
How do you advance from this world to a different world, to a different way of living, to a kingdom, God's kingdom? It's by birth, supernatural birth, by the way.
That's a good point. So this kingdom here is of a supernatural kingdom here. This is supernatural birth. Not everybody, this is an exclusive club. There's exclusivity to this. Not everybody's a part of that. And we're going to get to that here in just a few minutes. But note that Paul says it's not of eating and drinking. And this is the first time he brings up the word drinking here. And this is ultimately we're going to talk about this a little later, but it's dealing with drinking of wine. And we'll discuss that in a later episode. But Paul, he's saying here this is not what we're here to do. We're not to promote those externals, nor are we to fight over the non-essential things. Don't get hung up on the matters that really don't have anything to do with the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
The things of the kingdom of God are not found in eating or drinking. Those are for the stomach. But the kingdom of God does, it feeds our heart. That's what we need to be after, those things, not feeding our stomach, but feeding our heart. Paul says, here's what it is. I underline these things in your Bible. It's about righteousness. It's about peace. It's about joy. That's the Christian life, isn't it, Phil?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're called to be. You want to know what real kingdom living is, what a Christian life looks like, we have it right here. It's righteousness. And here, Paul's not talking about imputed righteousness, correct? We're not talking about that. We're talking about the righteousness, righteous living, holy, obedient lifestyle. That's why I said, are we called? Once we're called out of darkness and into the light, we are called to be in Christ. Well, we are in Christ, but we are called to be disciples of His, obedient to His word. There is a word that a lot of people don't like, but it's lordship salvation. We submit to the master. Next week, we're going to talk about being a servant of Christ, a bondservant of Him. We come out of being in slavery to sin, and now we're in slavery to Christ, and now we are to do what He wants us to do, and He calls us to honor Him, honor God in righteous living. We're to be holy vessels. Right? Useful vessels for this world. That's what we're to do.
We're to be righteous. Ephesians 6:14 says, always wear the breastplate of righteousness. So we should live out, you know, positionally, we're righteous, but we're commanded to live out every day this righteous way of living.
Absolutely.
And
2 Timothy 2:22, he says, flee youthful lust and pursue righteousness. Hebrews 12:11 tells us that if we are slow in the pursuit of righteousness, or if we steer off course, that God will bring his loving discipline to steer us back on track. God chastens those whom he loves in order to produce the fruit of righteousness. And God is, he's constantly working in our lives to produce this righteousness that is born out from our salvation and our walk in Christ. Because he says in Romans 8:28 that we're predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. Well, guess what? Christ was righteous. Now, we're not going to be perfect in this lifestyle, but we need to be striving for that, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Yeah, I love this. And when we had a guest on the show, I don't know if you remember this, from where was he from? Was it Pakistan?
Oh,
you know,
I know, but I was gone though.
You wasn't there.
He
said something that day, and had a friend of ours. Is he from Pakistan? Is that where he's from?
I think so. Yeah.
Anyway, he was down visiting, and he said something and when it was over with, I said, "Oh my goodness, I really disagree with him on that." And the more I studied, I'm like, "No, he's right."
That's good.
Yeah, but you know, as far as righteous living, sanctification, you know, God's going to mold us into the image of his son, but that doesn't, well, then you go ahead and mold and I'll just sit over here and let you chip on me. No, you have a part. You're in that process also with your choices.
Correct.
You know, so you are involved in that. He's ultimately in charge and is going to work it out. But look, we're not robots, right? Nope. We have to walk out this righteous kingdom lifestyle.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. I mean, that was Philippians that that we're to walk in accordance in the manner in which we have been called. That's us. This is what we're to do. There's this this activeness on our part. And Jesus said, even on the Sermon on the Mount, look at this. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. That which satisfies the hungering and thirsting for righteousness, not food or drink, but it's the righteousness that fills us up. We find ourselves too often hungering and thirsting for the wrong thing, don't we?
Yeah.
Too often we do that, but God calls us, guess what satisfies in this world, folks? It's righteousness, hungering for those things. That's what satisfies. God's people are called to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Our concern shouldn't be eating or drinking our days, but it's honoring the Lord with our lives, living a holy life. That's what he said. This is how he started off the whole section in chapter 12 is that we're acceptable God, right? Living upon the altar, a spiritual service of worship. Paul goes on. He says, the second thing is that kingdom living is about peace. Well, you don't have peace if you're arguing with your weaker brother about food, about pork chops. Or the weaker brother arguing about the older brother for eating those.
Yeah.
That's not how we have peace. When it comes to the kingdom of God and Christian liberty and really non-essentials issues, we're not looking to pick a fight. That's not what we're called to do.
The more you know the scripture, right? The more you know, let's say the mature brother. And there's a lot of weight, more weight put on him than the immature brother. He's got a little bit more on his plate as far as what is he. Now, the immature brother, he's accountable also.
Sure.
Now, but a lot of this weight is falling on the mature brother.
Absolutely.
And so the more you know about God and the more you grow, there's a danger because that knowledge can puff you up. Mm. And it's like it says in 1 Corinthians 8:1, now concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but loves build up.
Wow.
So the more you know the liberty and the freedom, and these things are great, by the way. These liberties and freedoms come from God, and we should enjoy them. But we have to be careful, because knowing all of this, this guy isn't aware and doesn't know at this time. And guess what? He's got a conscience. God's given him that conscience for a reason, and he needs to stick to it. Mm-hmm. Even just because he's not fully mature, he's still to listen to his conscience.
Yep.
Even prior to knowing the word. But the more you know, there is a tendency to puff up with knowledge. And, you know, you have to be careful.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's a good word. Absolutely. Jesus says, I'll go back to the Beatitudes. He says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Mm-hmm. That's who we are, Bill. If we're to be peacemakers, we're called sons of God. We are, as children of God, to be promoting peace. If we're a strong brother, just like you said, we should yield to the weaker brother and promote peace and give up our liberties. That's all what we're talking about here in context. If you are a weaker brother, though, you should promote peace as well and stop condemning your stronger brother for his exercise of freedom in Christ. So it's a relational peace here when the body of Christ that we have. We don't want to be unnecessarily offensive with our words or actions, so we should be peacemakers as the Lord has said. And then Paul says here in the final thing, he says, and joy. This comes to one who is right with God and at peace with his brother. Joy comes out of that. It's the personal joy of knowing God, experiencing forgiveness, grace and mercy and love. It is the blessed, happy life of salvation, which rejoices in everything and any circumstance. That's joy. It's seeing your weaker brother grow in the knowledge of the Lord, is it not? I have so much joy when I see my brothers in Christ that I'm walking with, and they come to a fuller knowledge of Christ. Do you not? When we're sitting there and you're talking to these younger brothers, man, they're coming to this fuller knowledge of the Lord. Man, I get joy out of that. It's seeing you as the stronger brother sit down with your right for the love of the weaker brother, and it's seeing the fruit from that relationship being built, sanctification happening both of their lives.
Yeah, 1 Thessalonians 1:6, it says, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, well, speaking of the Holy Spirit, that's what Paul says here at the end, in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And this is all, like we talked about earlier, it's all supernatural. And it only happens to those who are in Christ and filled with the Holy Spirit. These are God's gifts, and only He can produce these things. Only He can produce practical righteousness, inner peace, and this internal joy. It's not something we just psych ourselves up for. It comes down from the throne of grace from above. It's administered by the Holy Spirit unto us. And the Holy Spirit, He fills our heart with joy. When sin is in our lives, it's hard for righteousness and peace and joy to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But when we confess that sin and we walk in a manner according to the Lord, and we're kicking this sin out of our lives, we're returning these things back to these things in our lives, this righteousness, peace, and joy, we can be, you know, we can have this joy. I want to end. You got something?
No,
I want to end just a couple of things here about the kingdom of God. And I think I got this from Steve Lawson. It could have been Dr. MacArthur. But just I want to end on this. There's a couple things about the kingdom of God. One is the kingdom of God is incomprehensible to unbelievers. John 3:3, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, like you said. Also, it is also entered into by the new birth. John 3:5, when we were born into this world, we entered into this world outside of the kingdom of God, and the only way to enter the kingdom of God is through the new birth, and that is of God, and that's what it means to be born from above. So it's entered by the new birth. Number three, it's also restricted to only believers. We talked about that earlier. It's exclusive, right? 1 Corinthians 6:9, Matthew 5:20. It's also not of this world. Talked about that. It's a spiritual kingdom, like you said. It's also advanced by the preaching of the gospel, Mark 1:15-16. And it is inhabited by those who are poor in spirit and that are meek. We get that from the Beatitudes.
Mm-hmm.
So as we wrap up, this is the life we want to show to a dying world. A world that is watching, a life of righteousness to a world that is marked by unrighteousness, a life with relationships of peace, something that the world does not know, and a life marked by profound joy in the Holy Spirit.
Well, we're going to pick back up next week. We're out of time. But hey, verse 21, we're picking on meat and drink. And then 21 says, or to do anything by which you cause your brother to stumble. Man, we got to be careful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, hey, see you next week for another edition of Life Song Radio.